Adele with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hi and welcome to episode 127 of the Robots Podcast. My name is Jana and today we will be hearing about a new Spanish startup company called Adele and its flagship project called Fiona. But first, here are the latest developments in robotics with Christine.
Thank you, Jana. Leading U.S. robotics researchers have presented the new U.S. robotics roadmap to a packed gallery of the Robotics Caucus of the U.S. Congress. This new version of the roadmap replaces and extends the previous 2009 document on manufacturing, healthcare, medical, and service robots with a roadmap for space and defense. The roadmap is entitled From Internet to Robotics and highlights how robotics acts as a key economic enabler, identifying business and application drivers, gaps for the development of end-user products, and R&D priorities for each sector. Researchers at the European Space Agency have released AstroDrone, a simulation game app for the Parrot AR drone and a scientific crowdsourcing experiment that aims to improve landing, obstacle avoidance, and docking capabilities in autonomous space probes. The app allows each of the more than 500,000 owners of an AR drone play a mission-based game, simulating docking the Parrot with the International Space Station as quickly as possible while maintaining good control. Bonus points are given for keeping the drone in the correct orientation and at low speeds on the final approach. At the end of the mission, players can log their high scores on a scoreboard, and at the same time contribute to the experiment by anonymously sharing abstract mathematical image features and velocity readings for their performance. For more information on the new U.S. robotics roadmap and on AstroDrone, visit us at robohub.org.
This year's EU Robotics Forum, ERF, took place 2 weeks ago in Lyon, France. ERF is a forum where robotics companies and researchers can meet and network, providing an opportunity to build new businesses and collaborations. Our reporter Pear visited ERF and, among others, met Lucia Fernandez-Cosio and Celestino Alvarez from Adele Robots. Pear spoke to Celestino and Lucia about the beginnings of Adele and one of their new projects, an online platform called Fiona, that hosts the next generation of virtual avatars.
Welcome to the podcast. Today I'm here with Tino from Adele. So can you tell me a bit how you got started and then how you got into robotics? Because I think that that's, the start is always interesting.
Yeah, I suppose that as most of the people that are in robotics have some dreams when they were a child. Yes, basically is that. I remember when I was 10 years old, I have the interest of being an electronic engineer because I want to manufacture my own computer. From there, I suppose I started to look at the world and see robots and get interest on artificial intelligence and how to replicate a human being. I suppose it's basically the same as everybody that is playing this game.
Mm. And did you then go into academia? Do you have a robotics background?
Yeah, I started with an electronics background and control automation and this stuff. After that, I've been working in a consulting firm, so I also get some management skills. But at the same time, it was, quite boring, the daily work, so I started my PhD on robotics in Madrid.
Mm-hmm. Then you started to work for a company that Adele is spun out of, that has a strong research department, I understand.
Yeah. In fact, it was founded by some of my friends in the university, and this is a company that makes a lot of things. It started in 1996. It's called Trilogic, and they started to build dynamic web pages in that stage. That was quite innovative at the end. And from them, the innovation was on its DNA. So when I came back to Asturias from Madrid, I get a better position there, and I push the idea of researching or doing some stuff on robotics. We were all very happy working on social robotics. I mean, this is something like, you know, robots that interacts with people. I usually to say that there should be eyes in those robots, because when you and me are talking, we look into your eyes. So yeah, that's some fundamental part for us. So we started like in 2006 to make some little works on robotics. In 2009, I think it was, we get the largest social robotics project funded in Spain. It was like 6 or 7 million euros with 12 partners in Spain. And in 2010, I was talking with Truelike partners that it was very difficult using the same brand doing so many different things in innovation. So we decided to spin out a company focused exclusively on social robotics, and it's called Adel Robots.
So could you describe the concept behind Adel Robotics? I understand it is a marketplace for software components that you then incorporate in your robotic design.
Yeah, in fact, that is Fiona. That is the project that we have developed for the last 2 years. But you're right. What we came up was with the idea that we need that the robots should be more intelligent than they are right now. And artificial intelligence is something that was used, is a term used from the old 50s. And if we are sincere, there's nothing really intelligent around us. And the point is that there are many people working on different fields of artificial intelligence. You can call them neural networks or learning by imitation, deep learning. There are a lot of areas, and each of these areas are quite difficult, in fact, and there are at least 10 people for in each group that is working on this stuff. So, in fact, they are quite disconnected. So the idea was to create a platform that could be able to match all these different works and put them together working. And that's basically what we have done. So we are talking with many universities, technological companies, and geeks that are developing some kind of algorithms related to human-machine interaction. So they can wrap this algorithm in our APIs. They can put in the platform. And what Fiona does is that you can drag and drop these components, make them talk together, just play a button, and it shows up some kind of character with a behavior that is using those algorithms. So coming to the part of the marketplace, what I have just talked is one of the part, but we think it's also interesting to try to make profits from these new tools, to put them on the market. If these tools, I mean, this new character is using for in a bank or an airline for selling plane tickets, we will charge them some fees for this service, and we will pay back to each of the developers that are being used their code in this new service. So we think that the relation that we are creating is really a win-win relationship. It's also an accelerator of technology transfer from the universities to the market. We are very happy with the idea because we thought it's very rounded.
Mm-hmm. I also like the idea of providing these components in a way that you can have a number of, for instance, speech recognition components, and anybody can provide one that is better or different, and then whoever decides to develop a robot can decide that this component is right for me. Is it also so that the API you've developed is such that if you want to or need to replace the speech recognition component, would that be easier to replace the speech recognition component because it's a...
Yes. That's our big concern, and that's the point where we can add that value. I mean, what we are doing in the platform is to define the interfaces that communicates different Sparks. So a TTS should have the same interfaces. So you can replace one with another one, basically because they have the same interfaces. That means several things, and it's quite important. I mean, one of the lacks that we feel that there are in the TTSs right now, for example, is that, okay, they translate text into speech, but they can't tell a tale. I mean, you know, the pronunciation is different. The weights that you have to do when you are telling a story, it's quite different than just reading, just converting text to a speech. So we hope that with time, this will evolve and the products will improve in that way. So you can think of a customer that currently has the best of the technology that is currently being used. When this new product will came up, he can just change it. And the rest of the system will be the same. So investing in technology like this one, it's really pays for itself.
Mm. And also, if people see that there is a reasonably easy marketplace where they can get can add their module doing whatever they've developed, they're also going to be spurred on to develop more. And as they see they have an income stream, there's going to be a competition between the different speech recognition modules. And then they're going to improve because everyone sees everyone and can easily replace and choose the best option currently. They're not locked into one system.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. When we speak to technological companies, because they have a more vision, more focus on the market than universities, we try to explain them that this is like a supermarket. I mean, the supermarket shelf, you can find several brands of milk. And milk is milk, but anyway, you have several brands. Mm-hmm. So the consumer will choose which one he prefers. Could be by price or because of the fidelity of the brand or whatever. That's basically the same focus that we are trying to do here. We pretend to be agnostic about the companies that are putting their algorithm there. There are two things here, because for the example of the DTS, there are already quite stable products in the market, but for some other algorithm, it's more unstable. For example, stuff related with vision or recognition, identification, face identification. So yeah, it could be a searching competition between universities to improve those algorithms.
Yeah, yeah. So we've talked about, you said, vision components. We've talked about speech recognition. We've talked about synthetic speech. Could you give us any other components that you think will be part of this?
Yeah, there are a lot of them. We can think just one big component that it could be a brain. And what the platform will do is just giving the sense of seeing and the speech capabilities, also the hearing one. And that could be one possibility. I mean, I really like that approach. If we are able to create a cognitive brain made on neural networks or whatever, but that it's too holistic approach. So what is possible to do currently in these days? Probably you have to split this big brain in small ones. For example, dialogue control systems that can talk about some specific topic, or perhaps some other stuff that can integrate with your domotic systems and change, turn on the lights or close the doors or whatever. And there's some very interesting points about the personality of the character. We are certainly telling to the final customers that they can have some virtual agents that can change the behavior depending on the user that it's in front of the camera. So if it's elder people, you should be more calm and tell the things more slowly. And if it's a businessman, you should be more fast because he's used to that. If it's a child, the message should be different. So we think there are a lot of possibilities. Emotion recognition or on the speech or in the image. There are a lot of things to do here.
Mm. And the component is interesting also for adapting to a specific situation in a market. Say that you have an intelligent house in the future and you have a certain brand of intelligent house and you then buy a domestic service robot. You can buy it because the supplier of your intelligent house has made a module available, basically like many companies today have an app for your phone. Doesn't matter if you have an iPhone or an Android phone or any phone, they have an app for the different phones. interfacing you with their technology, booking tickets or doing whatever you want to do. So this means that the same robot from the same supplier will be adapted to a different environment with these components. So it's not necessarily so that one speech recognition, one component has to be better than the other. It's just more suitable for you.
Yes, of
whether
course.
You're a kid or you have a smart home from supplier X.
Yes.
Yeah. And yes, you yes. handle all the infrastructure for replacing the component, software component in the robot.
Yeah, that's the role we are playing. I mean, we are a small team, so we cannot research on every of these modules that we are talking. And also there are people that is already working on this. So basically, if you think in this way, it's the platform is a very, very good example of what open innovation means. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are only 7 people in the company right now, but we have already 700 people registered in the platform.
Other than users, or do they make robots, or do they make components, or are they evenly distributed?
The idea is that they make components. Yeah,
they make components.
We don't know every people. That is, I mean, we have an open registration form, so people is registering. But we are also talking directly with universities. We have also created a consortium for an FP7 proposal, where we are trying that this Fiona becomes a standard of integration of different modules. Also about robot manufacturers, here in this conference there are some people that are asking us to integrate with ROS. At the point we are right now, we don't have the need of using motors or devices, so we don't have that part, and ROS could cover that part very, very well. So because there's also here an example, a Korean company that has a physical robot, but the face is a character, a tune. So that tune could be created with Fiona, for example, and also Fiona could be the intelligence that can move the robot. In the future, as the platform evolves, you know that there's now a term that it's called cloud robotics. Yes, probably we are getting into there without being conscious about that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So can you talk a bit about where the company is now? You're a couple of years old, or?
Yeah, we're a couple of years old. We started with 3 products, which is the famous part of the SEAL robot that is manufactured in Japan, and we are the distributors for Spain. We also have a hardware robot, which is called Tico. It's a 1.5 meter tall robot, 80 kilos, and we use it for marketing, basically. But we have also made some interesting testing in schools for as a teacher assistant, because it's fun, but children puts more attention on the robot than on the teacher. So we think that's something that we can explore to improve education. But when we were doing those testings, we find out another very interesting thing, that was the use of the robots with autistic children. We have research, and there are some universities in UK already doing this, and they say that the human face is too complex for autistic children, and the simplicity of a robot in our case, its face is basically 2 eyes. It's very, very simplified, and the communication improves with those children. Also, we are talking with some professors of our region, of University of Oviedo. They are experts on learning, on human learning. They have developed methods for teaching autistic children, and they see a great potential of using virtual agents or avatars for teaching them. The methodologies of this teacher is very repetitive. And you know that robotics is great when repetitive tasks should be automated.
And can also be simplified. It can be peeled back to not overload these children,
yeah,
as they're prone to be.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting field of application to study and to use these technologies. But, you know, we need more time, more money.
Yeah. So So the position is that you're entering the market, or you're recruiting suppliers of components, and you're also interested in getting in touch with people that do robots and would like to use the system, I guess. So that's where you are.
Yes, we identified 3 different kind of users for the platform. One are what we call sparkers, and you name them component makers. Yeah, you know, our URL is Sparking Together, because it's very a marketing term, but we really love it. I mean, it's basically your functionality is just one spark, and with a lot of sparks, we can create some kind of intelligence. That's the idea. So what call sparkers, the guys who are creating these functionalities. We also name integrators as the ones that joins these sparkers, but they are doing this for a final customer.
Mm-hmm. Which is the guy who makes the robot, right? The hardware?
The guy who
uses the hardware?
The integrator. The final customer should be, for example, American Airlines, a big company that wants virtual agents in their website and creating an application with it for their customers, or for some kind of mobile platform with a virtual agent in the airport. Why not? So we are targeting very big clients, but we are very small. So the role of these integrators is that they already have relations with these customers. We have talked already with Accenture, for example, or PricewaterhouseCoopers, because the point is just what I mentioned, is we can create virtual agents that could be in different channels. And here there's a very powerful idea, which is that if me as a customer, when I'm going to buy a ticket from American Airlines, I can go through their website or through my mobile app or directly in an office of American Airlines, if I see the same character, this character is going to be part of the brand. It's part of my experience as a customer with American Airlines. So this is a very powerful message. We have talked about this with Forrester, which they are a market analyst, and they love this idea. And also it's the idea that Accenture loves or PricewaterhouseCoopers loves. We are giving this message so they can sell this message better than us to their customers. So as I said before, we think what we really like of this ecosystem that we are creating is that it's quite round. Everybody has something to win here.
So that was very interesting. Now we're going to talk to Lucille a bit and see what she has to share. Thank you for being part of the podcast.
Thank you to you.
So I'd like to welcome Lucia to the podcast. She's also from Adel, and we're going to start with how you got into robotics and then how you got into this company and what you do in it.
Okay. I studied computer engineering, and I started working at Trilogic, but in the consultant part. And I found it a little bit boring. Tino was my boss there. He was always talking about robotics, and I really liked that. So I was like 3 years in the consultant part, and then I started working on the research and development department, where I worked on different projects, European projects and national projects, most of them on robotics. Mm-hmm. And then when Tino started the company, Adel, I moved with him.
Mm-hmm. So what would be your role in this new company? What are you looking forward to doing?
In Adel?
Yeah.
I'm the production manager. But as Tino said before, we are a small company, so we have to do many things. And that's one of the attractive things of being in a startup. I'm in charge of the Fiona project, but we also have to do some marketing things and sales visits and many things.
Yeah. So tell me about the Fiona project that you're the head of then, huh?
Yes. Fiona is a platform for developing virtual agents in a collaborative way. We came up with the idea of the project because we find that there are many people all over the world researching on artificial intelligence, but they never put all that knowledge together. We created the platform so that they can upload the knowledge they have, and then the final users can put them together and create a virtual agent with a nice intelligence.
Mm. And so this is—it can be used both on a web page or in a robot, because it's all software, right?
Yes, it's all software. Right now we are focusing on virtual agents, but all that intelligence that you get in the virtual agent, you can use it in a physical robot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And eventually, also, if you have a face control, for instance, today you use a screen, like we've seen the Baxter do with the eyebrows and the eyes and the mouth. But I guess you could also control a physical robots doing that, like the Kismet, for instance, who has physical eyebrows and eyes and mouth. So it's basically interchangeable between the... It's just that the screen is easier to do right now.
It's cheaper and it's easier. So we can focus on the intelligence and then you can go to physical robots. And
So what would you say would be the major challenge for you in this? What's the hardest part for you when you do this?
Okay, well, there are two things. One is explaining what we are doing, because, you know, for us, as we are all day working on it and we have a technical profile, it's not easy to explain people what we are exactly doing. And another thing is that, we have three target people in the project. One are the Sparkers, that are the ones that are going to develop the models of the project. We also have the integrators, that are the ones that are going to put them together. And we have the final clients. And right now we are talking to the three of them. Because, I mean, if we don't have Sparkers, the platform really doesn't make sense. And the integrators need to see that there are Sparks they can use. And also the integrators need to see that they are final clients that are interested in on the platform and on virtual agents. So right now we have to talk to everyone, and that's the hard part. On the long term, we want to just maintain the platform and improve it. But I mean, we don't want to play the role of integrators or talking to final clients.
No. I mean, everybody has their part to play. Yes. Somebody does the hardcore research, and then you do the platform, and somebody does the integration, and then somebody does the final hardware, or for that matter, the web site, so to speak. Then you're looking at launching a Kickstarter campaign.
We are working with a couple of white guys from San Francisco. The final goal is to create a community that they know Fiona and to have people using products made in Fiona. So the product we are offering is having a virtual assistant at home you can talk to, and that is integrated with the home automation, so that it is really easy to use. Because sometimes, I mean, for example, my parents have a home automation system, but they never use it because, I mean, it's really, really difficult.
It lacks a human face.
Yes. So you see someone, it's a virtual agent, and you can say, okay, turn on the lights or call my husband or whatever, and in a really easy way.
Have you got any good examples you can mention? Have this been used somewhere? Either your system or something like this. Is there any parallels you can draw to existing projects that we can see? I mean, basically what we're talking about, the infrastructure is basically the app store where you can add things to your phone or to basically any device nowadays. Could you give us some example of where it has been used, that you've used it as an example, or that the concept in general has been used? Have you got any nice test cases you can share with us?
Okay, the first implantation we have made is in the University of Oviedo. This is in Asturias. Everyone we go to talk to, they ask us, where can we see this? We made like a deal with the university so that they have the virtual agent on the website, and they are telling the students to do the final degree project on Fiona so that they can make new modules and improve the intelligence of the avatar on the website.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So is there how many students are working on that right now?
Well, we just started it was a couple of weeks ago.
So it's a new project.
Yes.
Yeah. But we're going to see a lot of, and that's, is that Sparks or is it system integration there or both? Are they going to make new modules or are they going to use them or both?
I think that they will do the modules and then we will integrate them.
Ah, okay, okay. Yes. So they're basically improving the different Sparks, the different parts you can use to build whatever.
But they can do both, yes.
So if we want to see how this works in reality, we'll include that address in the information.
Okay.
And then they can go and check out this avatar and see how it works.
Yes. So. Well, right now it's not very intelligent, but hopefully it will improve.
Is this the company's only product or are you doing other things too?
We have a physical robot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, we talked about that.
Tico.
Yeah. And it's it will, of course, be able to use the system too,
yes.
Right?
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that would be then your own kind of test bed, mm-hmm. for integrating it physically.
Yes.
Yeah. So what we can say to the listeners, go out and check it out. And if you're an expert in anything that you think a robotic system might use in the future, spark it so that yes. everybody can use it.
Yes.
And if you're building a robot, don't reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for being part of the podcast.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And that's the end of the episode. As always, you can find transcripts, videos, pictures, and much more on our website at robotspodcast.com. The podcast will be back in 2 weeks' time. Until then, goodbye. Adele with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.